What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 427, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. Of course, with me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Much. Just ready to podcast. Like, earlier in the day, I wasn't so sure, but now I'm good to go. I was under the weather the last couple of days. Yeah, so that's why I've got the weather.
I'm ready to podcast. It's been a long day. I feel like just today just blew by. I haven't got anything done. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot to talk about this week. So just a brief overview. We have three reviews that we did this week. One's of a case, one's of an AIO, and one is of some DDR5. Then we're going to talk about the Ryzen 7 9800X3D, completely selling out. You can't get it anywhere. Intel promising fixes for Arrow Lake. So will that change anybody's mind? Also, when it comes to Arrow Lake, new Intel Core Ultra 200S CPU specs have been leaked for the rest of the line. So that's the 65-watt and 35-watt low-power versions of people might be interested in that. We have a new bundle from NVIDIA. If you purchase an NVIDIA graphics card, Steam Deck OLED Special Edition, also AMD Ryzen AI 365 and HX 370 handhelds. That's like what essentially is going to replace all the handhelds that use the Z1 and Z1 Extreme. So we have some performance figures on that. New case, new motherboard, and a really interesting, I don't necessarily see an application for it, but LG has a screen that you can stretch. It's a stretchable screen. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week. So lots of stuff going on. If you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that you can get all the information, has links to everything that we're talking about. So if you want to reference something later, you can definitely do that. Or as we're talking about it, you can go ahead and click through with us. So that's just at thinkcomputers.org. So let's jump right into it. And I'm back to case reviews. I feel like it's been a long time since I reviewed.
I know. It was on social media or something, and you were like, we're finally doing case reviews again. I was like, oh, I guess it has been a while since we've seen one.
Well, I had some, and I have like five cases right now that are in. Okay. And this would have made six. So I'm slowly getting them done. They do take a little bit more time. You have to build a system in them and all that kind of stuff. And if you guys didn't know, I moved and I'm trying to get this set up good for photos and everything like that in cases.
Cases are hard to take photos of because you got to be so, they just take so much more room.
I feel like I got it. The pictures that you'll see in this review are not great. In my opinion, they're all right. But it's getting there. So I took a look at the Corsair IQ Link 3500X RGB case. This is the IQ Link version, which essentially means that it's the case. It comes with three IQ Link 120mm RGB fans and the IQ Link controller. So that you plug the fans into the controller and then they show up in IQ. But you can get this case without any fans. You can also get this case with just three regular RGB fans. They're not IQ Link. You just plug them into like a normal the header on your motherboard or another controller. But this is the IQ Link version, so it has all of that. And it is their first sort of non-dual compartment pillarless case, if that makes sense. So if you look at the case, you can see that there's no pillar here. It's just glass on glass. That gives you an unobstructed view into your system, which a lot of people really, really want. And as you can see, the only way you're hiding cables is behind the motherboard tray. Everything else is going to be seen here. But with this layout, you can see the big change compared to a lot of companies is that the power supply cover only extends, I would say, about 60% of the case. So you have this big open section down here. You can mount a fan down here, but it does decently kind of go, I don't want to say go to waste, but nothing else is going there, right? So now this would be a good spot for a reservoir if you're doing a water-cooled build. But beyond that, you could have fit more hard drive cages if you did the full thing. That's kind of one of my gripes with this case, but as you can see, look at that, just unobstructed view right into the case. One thing I also really liked about this case too is that the panels, they just pop off, and it's a nice process. They don't fall or anything like that. They're not hard to get on or off. And that's all the panels. That's both glass, front panel and side panel, as well as the top panel. They all just pop off super easy. I'm glad we're at that point where like almost all cases have that sort of design where the panels just come off so easily. You do get a filter on the bottom that extends the entire length of the case. And I do like that it comes out from the front because, I mean, I'm just looking at my system here. The back, there's just cables and everything back there. I want to pull it out from the front, make it easy to clean. So you have the filter there. At the top of the case, it is all ventilated, and you can install three 120 millimeter fans or a 360 millimeter radiator. That's the largest radiator that you can fit in that in this case, so just keep that in mind. You can do two 140s up there as well. This, like I said, just pops off. You have a filter up there as well. It's just magnetic filter. You can pull it right off. You do get Type-C USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C on here. Nice to see that. As far as connectivity goes, you can see we do have a side mount in here. So again, since we have the glass front panel, we need an intake. These fans are set to be an intake. And again, they are the IQ Link fans. What sets those apart from normal fans? And Ryan, you've dealt with these fans, is that they essentially just snap together. And there's a single cable that comes off of them. And what's cool about IQ Link is that if you have other IQ Link products, they essentially daisy chain into each other. So if you want to stay in that Corsair ecosystem, this is a great like case to get as a starter into that ecosystem, because then if you buy more IQ Link products, they just daisy chain into these fans essentially. And what's great about that is that you don't have to worry about like, oh, I got to run this RGB to this and power to this. It's just one cable for power and either RGB or any other data connectivity. And you can see that cable right there. They also connected at the bottom. These come pre-installed. You don't have to do anything. The controller comes pre-installed as well, which when we get inside, we can look at that controller. So it does come with the IQ Link controller. It is 2-port. So I forget how many devices per channel.
It's quite a few.
So with this will cover you for, if you were adding all IQ Link fans into this, you'd be covered. As you'll see in this review, I added in a Corsair IQ Link AIO 360 millimeter version. So the fans and the pump and everything right into this, no problem. So I didn't have to use the controller that even came with that AIO. I just used this one. This is magnetic. It sits right in the back here where your storage mount is. So as far as storage goes, you have this storage mount right here, and this supports 2 2.5-inch drives or 2 3.5-inch drives. So total of 2 drives. I don't think in this day and age that's as big of a deal as it used to be, because all of our motherboards have at least 2, if not 4 or 5 M.2 slots. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. As far as power supply support, full-size power supply in here, and it slides in the bottom, no problem. You can see our fans mounted here on the side mount. Side mount is the same as the top mount. So you can do 3 120s, 2 140s, or a 360 millimeter radiator. None of the mounts, as far as cooling mounts, are removable. So you cannot take the cooling mounts out. Which does make mounting a little bit more difficult, you know. That's the only thing. Another thing that I did notice, and you'll see it here, is that none of the cable routing holes have the rubber inserts or grommets. So, and all of the steel is like bended, so it's not like you're going to slice a cable, but it does clean things up when you're looking exactly at it. From the other side is when you see our finished build, like you can see through the holes. I'd rather have them covered up with the rubber inserts. It's just for me that I do like that a lot better. Installation, incredibly easy. You take off the panels, put in everything, had no issues getting anything in here really. And our completed build, here's what the back looks like. There are plenty of tie down points. I'm just lazy and I didn't use them, but that's what everything looks like. It's really easy to route everything. No issues with anything there. And then our build, very clean, as you can see, And here's what it looks like with the side panels on. But as I mentioned, you can see the holes, like you see them. I'd rather have it be a rubber kind of grommet in there that's covering
for sure
the holes. But overall, very clean build. I like it. Like I said, we installed the 360 millimeter AIO in there, daisy chained into the fans, real easy to do. No problem. And if you want to see what this looks like with all of the lights on, I mean, it does look quite good. I think this is a case that you're going to get if you are staying in that Corsair ecosystem. It just makes sense because it does come with the hub and you just get more IQ Link fans, or as my case, the IQ Link AIO, and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about things matching up or different softwares or anything like that. You run everything through IQ and you're good to go. So I think the build came out quite nice. As you can see, just looks really, really good. And again, full, like I said, you can really see in this case, so you were not going to be able to hide cables as much, but I think it turned out quite well. Performance was pretty good. The only thing is that those fans do get a bit loud.
Oh, really?
One thing that I did notice during full load, the fans did get a bit loud. So it's something to keep in mind. Obviously, you can set like if you don't want them running like in like a PWM mode, you can set them to a set RPM or a set level if you wanted to with an IQ, really easy to do. But overall, I think it's a good case. Some people have said this case is like expensive. It's $149.99.
Doesn't feel expensive at all.
One thing I didn't mention too is that it does support extended ATX motherboards. It also supports back connect motherboards. So Asus BTF, MSI Project Zero, it has all the holes for those. So you don't have to worry about that. It comes with three RGB fans, and they're not just like normal or cheap RGB fans.
Right.
The IQ Link fans, and you get the IQ Link controller. So I don't think I don't think it's that high.
No, $149 seems really good for this.
And again, the case by itself without any fans is $89, I believe. So I think the price is fine. The only thing is that I didn't like I said, the fans get a bit loud and there's just no rubber on any of the openings. I just would have liked to have seen that you know what I mean?
Yep.
But overall, I think it's a good case.
One of the things that I thought was interesting that Corsair did, and I think it just has to do with power, is at least on that AIO when I reviewed it, and I believe it's the same because I think I saw the connection, was that it takes a 6-pin PCIe power, doesn't it, to run that hub?
Yeah, the hub. If
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something to think about, like if you're using this, your power supply and you got your GPU, right? You got to make sure you got enough of those to
Yeah, I was like, I was thinking it was going to be SATA.
Right, right. But if you can daisy chain like extra devices to it kind of makes sense.
So there's that connection change. Well, at least we've gone from like, I remember longest time we were stuck on like Molex, and it was like, why isn't this SATA? Why isn't this SATA?
Yeah.
But it does take a 6-pin. So you, like Ryan said, you want to make sure your power supply has enough, or you have those cables connected. A lot of times when you're running a power supply, you have the cables you think you need, and then you install it and you're like, oh, I got to run another cable. So, the hub's great. Like I said, I do like this case. I did give it, I believe, an 8 out of 10. Yeah, I gave it an 8 out of 10. Just fans were a bit loud and the no rubber inserts, but everything else is really nice. And if you want to be in that Corsair ecosystem, it's not necessarily inexpensive case when it comes to a Corsair case either. And your build's going to look really, really nice. And it would be awesome if I would have had like a white graphics card and a white motherboard, it would have looked excellent. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. And then Ryan had the chance to take a look at an Asus ProArt AIO. If you want to bring that up for us, Ryan, there we go.
Yeah, so I took a look at the ProArt LC360. It's a 360 millimeter all-in-one liquid cooler from Asus in their ProArt line. They've had a 420 millimeter one for quite a while now, and decided to come out with a 360 millimeter version, which I think is great because the case compatibility for this cooler just opens you up to using a ProArt component in so many more cases, right? I mean, yes, they make a case where that 420 fits and you can have all ProArt, but if you want to go with something a little different, that 420 size of the previous model really limited your case choices.
And that case, which I reviewed, is massive. And not everybody wants a massive case, but a lot of people do like the aesthetic of the ProArt line. Absolutely. And the only ProArt case that that's the only one you can get is the massive one. So a lot of people, I've seen a lot of ProArt builds in like a fractal case. A lot of people love doing the ProArt build in the fractal case. So this, like you said, opens them up to install an AIO in those type of cases.
Yeah. So, and keep that ProArt, you know, design language. So, like I said, we've got a 360 millimeter cooler here. Comes in some really nice ProArt packaging with that, you know, really thin text that they've got for their ProArt line. Just really, really nice looking, really sophisticated look that just goes not only on the products, but the product packaging as well. And one of the things that I noticed first when I got this in, and I didn't realize this, I was looking at the front of the box, and I saw this Alpha Cool logo and nameplate here. And I was like, what? What is this? So Asus paired up with Alpha Cool for the fans on this cooler. So we'll get to that here in a minute. But I thought that was kind of a cool choice for them for this cooler. Everything comes pre-packed. This is an all-in-one cooler that does not come with the fans pre-attached. We've seen a lot of that lately where the fans are attached and cabled up and ready to go from the factory, you know, especially with like the daisy chain fans, things like that. It makes installation and setup just like even easier and quicker. I kind of gave them some slack on this one because you're working with that third party and installing these Alpha Cool fans with this radiator. So yeah, anyways, not a big deal, but just something to keep in mind that like not everybody is doing pre-installed fans on every AIO just yet. Kind of depends on it. You obviously get your mounting hardware for all current AMD and Intel platforms, and just kind of taking a closer look at it. It's like, you get it out of the box, and you're like, this is kind of plain looking, right? But the ProArt line is not what I would consider flashy. It's very sophisticated, professional. Like, I think of and I think I said it in my review, it's like, it's the hardware line where you could make a build at work for like a design workstation and not have to worry about accounting coming back to you going like, why has it got all these colors and rainbows, right? Like, this looks like a professional product line. And so that's what we get with this cooler, right? It's all black except for like the gold highlights here and there that you find on most ProArt products. We've got a standard 27 millimeter thick radiator in this cooler. Nothing special there. Honestly, it's a very basic radiator, to be honest. Nothing, like I said, nothing special there. It does have a couple design features, right? There's like these ribbed lines along one edge. You've got the ProArt logo and nameplate on the side, but again, nothing functional there that makes this radiator any different than any other pretty standard all-in-one cooler. Nothing special on the fittings on the end cap either. I was kind of surprised by that, right? Like sometimes you can have nicer fittings here that just look a little nicer. We've seen that with Lee and Lee on some of their coolers where we have a little nicer fittings or ones that rotate or something that makes it stand out from the rest of the pack, especially with this ProLine product here. Anyhow, moving over to the pump housing, you can get a quick look at it here. Again, it's an all black design with a little bit of gold to it. And let's just take a look at this image here. So you may not be able to tell it from this image, but there's a chrome bar going up and down the front or the top plate or the top edge of this cooler. And that lights up with a white LED light when it's powered on. And then you've got some like status indicator bars to show various levels. And those levels can be set to CPU load, GPU load, CPU temperature, you know, so on and so forth. There's about 10 options available for you to set this bar at, but that's it. There's no RGB lighting on it. There's no LCD, right? There's no rainbow colors, anything like that. It's a very functional lighting zone on here. And I'll get more into that in just a little bit here, but lights up white with this. I thought it would have looked kind of cool if you could do like a gold color, like if it glowed gold would kind of fit, but no big deal. We do have nice metal fittings on the end here that rotate and swivel, which is exactly what we want to see with any modern AIO. And then you have a USB cord as well as your PWM cord as well, coming from the bottom edge of that pump housing. Also, that top edge is like a aluminum material, and it has like some scalloped lines along the one side. Just again, another design aesthetic, nothing performance enhancing or anything like that. Just kind of a cool look there. Very basic around the edges, nothing to talk about, but we do have those ridges again on the left side of the cooler, just to add some of the design language from the Pro Art line. The base of the cooler here, all copper design, pre-applied thermal paste, right? That's very handy for just simplifying and speeding up the install process. I do wish they would include some thermal paste along with it, because if you end up taking this off or changing something around, or sometimes you set it on there and realize you like don't have the screw that you need to tighten it on close, and you're like holding it there and you're like reaching and you have to take it off, and then your paste is messed up, and it'd be nice to have thermal paste again. Not a big deal, but just one of those nitpick items. It does come with universal mounting hardware already attached, though, which is really nice. These mounting brackets on the side of the pump housing will work with the AMD and Intel hardware solution. So you don't have to unscrew those brackets, take them off, swap them out, depending on which platform you're on. Those are used in both of them. So that is very handy. But you don't have to change it up. Moving on over to the fans. Like I said, they paired up, Asus paired up, that is, with Alpha Cool and utilized the Apex Stealth Metal Power Fans. That's a quite the name for a fan. And these are actually specially tuned versions of the Apex Stealth fan for Asus specifically, which I thought was kind of unique there. I think there's a little bit of difference in the RPM levels and some sound tuning on these. I think the like standard fans only go down to 400 RPM. These actually can go all the way down to zero, right, and operate from those levels. Just a few tweaks here and there to the fan, but they are an all metal body design on the fan. Super heavy duty. They weigh quite a bit. But the really cool thing is that they, let me pull up the image of them. It's just like this nice satin metal body. Just like
that looks like a workstation fan. That's like exactly what people, like, again, who are building in this Pro Art line, like you said, they don't want the RGB or anything like that. RGB that looks here. Like a
they're pretty awesome. They do daisy chain together. Now, it's not the interconnection like you'll see on like an IQ Link or some of the other fans that connect together. It does still use a PWM cable to connect one to the other. But the cable lengths are just the right amount to connect between fans. And the corner designs of these fans allow you to actually route that cable kind of in between. So you don't have the cable on the outside of the fans, and it keeps it kind of tight in there. At least that's how I routed it. And I found that it was like, looked really nice and kept things out there. But one thing you'll see here is we've got kind of these two metal surfaces. We've got the top edge and the bottom edge. And in between there, there's like a pole at each corner. But what that means is the inner portion of the fan, the motor hub, the fan blades, is actually separated from the fan body and insulated. So you don't have to worry about vibrations and sound transferring from that fan over to the fan body, over to your radiator, creating rattles, vibrations, things like that. Because at first I was a little like, I was like, these are really nice fans, but why don't I have rubber pads on the corners, right?
Yeah.
Well, they take care of that internally as opposed to on those edges. So again, like I said, there was no rubber on the edges, but they've taken care of it internally on the fan though. So and those are really nice fans, which I'll talk about a little bit here in the end as well. Installation super easy. Like I said, you do have to mount the fans yourself, but you end up with a pretty clean fan layout and cabling set up here with those fans. There's no lighting cables that you've got to connect back or anything like that. Like I said, these all daisy chain together. I think it looks pretty good for fans that still use a 4-pin PWM cable and connector there. Pretty standard brackets for mounting this. This is the AMD bracket that mounts onto the motherboard. Like I said, that mounting hardware that's on the pump block is exactly what you need in all installation types. And there it is, just kind of installed in our system. As far as performance goes, this is actually really a well-performing unit. It is down towards the bottom, which is a good thing, in our idle temperature testing at 27 degrees, doing really well. And in there, again, with a bunch of other really good performing AIOs in the 360 millimeter size, but then did really well in load testing, right? Tied for second place in as far as performance goes, 36 degrees, just doing really well with some other really nice coolers, another Asus cooler in there, right? That Lee that I talked about earlier. So just good, really nice performance out of this cooler. Now, there is software for this cooler, but the only thing that it can control is that lighting bar on the top of the cooler. And the only thing you can change is what status is being shown on that bar, right? CPU temp, GPU temp, so on and so forth, because the pump is connected to your motherboard via that PWM cable coming off of it. So you're going to control that via your motherboard software. Same thing with those fans. They don't go back to a controller or anything like that.
It just goes to your motherboard. I think for this application, that's probably the better thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't want, again, this is like for a designer, somebody who's maybe not as tech savvy. Like having just PWM, I think just makes it so much easier for
them. Yeah, absolutely. So you can just, you know, hook those up to your motherboard, but there's no need to control it via a piece of software, right? Only if you want to show something different on that LED bar on the cooler. Unfortunately, I had a bunch of issues with Armory Crate not fully recognizing this cooler. It should be supported, but I just couldn't get it to go there, right? I tried, you know, every version I could find that was current anyways of Armory Crate. I used Asus's full uninstall tool that they make for Armory Crate. Like if you uninstall it and you don't think it's fully uninstalled, they make an uninstall like cleaner tool. I ran that, cleaned it off, ran it, you know, on there. I just could not get it to go. There's a couple other things. We've reached out to Asus, and there's a couple other things we're going to give it a try. If and when I get that fixed, we'll get that updated in the review to just kind of show you what that looks like in the software interface and kind of show you how that looks. But as it stands, that light bar, at least on my review unit, is just all lit up. So just kind of a light bar there. But not that you're going to make any major changes in Armory Crate, but just wanted to point that out there. But you can see, whoops, wrong window there. There we go. And here's kind of that lit up, just white, bright white LED lighting in the middle of that cooler there. So on to my final thoughts. I did give this a 7 out of 10. And that was that I put no software support because, at least in my case, I was having a lot of trouble with it recognizing that. And I think if that software support was up there and working, this that instantly bumped me up to an 8 at a minimum, right? So the review, the cooler's much better than performance-wise than a 7, but the whole package, right, should include that compatibility with Armory Crate. Now, it could be something on my end and having issues with Armory Crate, right? So, and from all indications, Asus says no, it's certified and should work. So, like I said, doing some work with them, and we'll make changes to the review as applicable once we have any changes in our result. But great idle and load performance, high quality AlphaCool fans, the ProArt aesthetic, right? If you want to make a ProArt build, this is a great cooler option for you if you wanted to be in a different case besides the ProArt one. Limited visual output with the software, right? You've only got that bar. You don't have any RGB, anything like that. And the fans aren't pre-installed, unfortunately. But price-wise, and we're talking about this kind of with that case you were just talking about, right? You've got those really nice fans along with it. It's only a $150 case. This AIO does cost $230. But those fans alone are $30 each. So that's $90 in fans for just those three, right?
I think at first glance, a lot of people see the price and they're like, it's a 360 millimeter AIO without a screen.
Right, for $230.
Yeah, so yeah. But it's just like, remember when like RGB fans first came out and they were very expensive? Mm-hmm. And then when you put them on an AIO, the AIO got very expensive. And same thing with cases. And yeah.
But, you know, so you've got these really nice fans. You have a 6-year warranty on this. You have that ProArt aesthetic, right? So, like, maybe this is something your business is going to write off and they don't care that it's $230. But if you're building it for yourself, right, and you want that ProArt look, you're going to have to pay for it in this case. But I think it does come with performance to back it up and theoretically software to allow you to adjust that light. So, yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with the performance that this cooler gives you. It's just a had some software issues.
Gotcha. Well, definitely guys go ahead and check that review out. I took a look at some DDR5 and it's Crucial's Pro Overclocking Edition. We actually took a look at, I think it was the 6,000 megahertz version of this previously. And this is the 6,400 megahertz version. They call it Pro Overclocking. And honestly, I don't necessarily know why, because DDR5 6400 is now the JEDEC speed for Z890. So this isn't running at like an overclocked speed, right? You're not, you know, you're not enabling XMP profile, and you know, this isn't running at 7,000 or 8,000. Now, I was able to overclock this quite a lot, but I don't know if that has to do with the memory more than the platform, which we'll talk about. But pretty basic memory here, as you can see, all black. They also offered an all white. This kit specifically is a 32 gigabyte kit. So it's two 16 gigabyte DIMMs. They're running again at 6,400 megahertz with timings of 38, 40, 40, 84 at 1.35 volts. No RGB on this. And they do look nice though. It's just like a very clean look, which I do like. So if you're, if you are doing a more, maybe even a ProArt build, where you didn't want RGB lighting, these are going to be great. Or doing an all white or all black build, you can see there's like, there's not even any writing, like no Crucial logo on this top at all. So I do like that about these, which is, you know, which is really, really nice. They both, this memory supports both Expo and XMP profiles. There's actually multiple profiles on the kit. So for some reason, your system won't run at 6,400 megahertz. You have both 6,400 megahertz and 6,000 megahertz profiles in both Expo and XMP on this. So you should be able to get those to run no problem with the profiles that they give you. And then this is going to run just like any other 6,400 megahertz kit, really. There's nothing necessarily special about it. One thing, just like on the previous version, is that when you install it, the back of the memory shows, not the front.
I gotta get that fixed.
Yeah, so I, you know, and when you're looking at my system, I'm looking, you know, at my system over here, this barcode and all that stuff would show not what's on the main side of the DIMM. So wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of that. We have all of our benchmarks and stuff if you want to check that out. Now, overclocking. Now, the 6,000 megahertz kit that I reviewed, I believe I only got like 200, 300 megahertz out of it overclocking. This kit, I was able to go from 6,400 megahertz all the way up to 7,200 megahertz. So a really nice overclock. Now, I have to say that, one, this was tested on a brand new system, Z890 with the Intel Core Ultra 285K, which has a much better memory controller. So that probably has a lot to do with it. Also, we tested this on Asus's ROG Maximus Z890 Hero, which has the NitroPath DRAM. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, check out my review of that motherboard. We have it linked in this review as well. But basically, Asus redesigned the memory slots for essentially better connectivity, and that should provide more headroom when it comes to overclocking. So it's hard for me to say that this memory is like going to be like that overclocking memory for you. I have a very good system to push a 6,400 megahertz kit to at least 7,000, if not more than that. So I wouldn't say it's the memory per se getting up to these speeds. I think it's more the platform. But this kit is $100. I gave an 8 out of 10. And again, this is the fastest kit you can get in this. It's only 6,400 megahertz, which again, we've seen over the past year, even like the non-CU DIMM stuff before Z890 came out, we were seeing 7,000, 7,200, 8,000 megahertz DDR5 kits. This is the fastest kit that they offer. The heat spreaders are a bit thin. No RGB version of this either. So if you did like this memory or were a fan of Crucial and you wanted RGB, you can't get it.
Bring back ballistics.
Ballistics. I know they should. But yeah, it's just like if you're running a normal system, you don't want to, you know, this is going to be that JDAC kit for Z890. It's also going to run fine in an AMD system as well. If you want like a no frills memory kit, this is definitely it. It's nothing to necessarily write home about. But it's a sleek looking kit. And I think, again, if you are doing like an all blacked out, all white out build, these are going to look excellent because there's no writing or nothing on the top of the memory. So it will look quite good in those type of systems. So check out the review if you are interested. We're going to move on to Case Mod Friday. And if you don't know what that is, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And we're going back to Stuart over at GGF and his MSI Project Zero build. Now, I did a MSI Project Zero build.
You did.
But it was not.
It didn't look like this, though.
And I did it in the same case, too.
Yeah.
But Stuart is incredibly talented, and this is his build in the MSI Project Zero. Almost everything in this is from MSI, and it's just an awesome build with that water block that has no tubing that you see. It all comes out of the back, which is really, really cool. This full-length reservoir here, which just looks excellent. I do like the yellow and the silver. I think it looks really good together.
I like those brushed aluminum panels at the top and bottom. They kind of hide the radiator and fans a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was something above the rear fan. What was it? Is that like an LCD screen?
Back here?
Or something? Yeah, above it on the backside. One of the images shows it.
Oh, I think it's the placard. Okay, so maybe that's so I got a case like this too. It's a special edition case.
Okay.
And it has this right
top
here.
Top middle, yep.
Yeah, so we all got a special edition case, and his was 129. I don't know what mine was. But there were only so many of these made. Mm-hmm. Because this case, like the cases we used to cherish, this case is all aluminum. Everything in it is aluminum.
Yeah.
You don't find those anymore. It's an excellent case. One thing we do get to see is the back of that water block. A lot of these builds that we've seen with this kind of hidden CPU block don't really show the back. This is what it looks like. So,
It's got like fill ports at the top, or additional ports you can route. And I've never really looked into it.
I assume you could route here, like both top and bottom, and then here and there, just a great build. The T-Force memory looks great in there as well. And definitely check that out. He has a video on it, which we do have in the article as well, if you want to check that out. But an awesome build there from Stuart over at GGF. And we'll move on to news. And it's been an interesting week after the Ryzen 7 9800X3D reviews came out. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
And essentially, instantly, that processor sold out everywhere. I don't know if you can still find it now. I don't think you can still find it.
I haven't looked in a while.
But
you couldn't previously.
Yeah. So, and scalpers have been a real thing.
Of course.
This processor has an MSRP of $479. It was on eBay for close to $1,500. Not as bad as the chip crisis, the chip shortage.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but it's still pretty high. But I think, I think what happened was, everybody knew Intel's coming out with the Core Ultra series. Everybody knew with the Ryzen 9000 series, which launched before the Core Ultra series, they knew the X3D parts were coming. And a lot of people, maybe their builds, 4 years old, 5 years old, they're like, it's upgrade time, right? It's time to upgrade. Because we know now we won't have any new graphics cards till at least January, So at least we hope, at least mainstream graphics cards, because there's a story that we will talk about. But so they know if they build now, they're going to probably get some of the best prices on kind of everything, because everything's out. And they saw the performance of the Core Ultras, Arrow Lake series. And then they saw the performance of this, and it is the best gaming processor. And they're like, I'm going to buy this. So everybody bought it. Everybody's buying a new build or doing a build. It is a X870, X870E, and a Ryzen typically 9000 X3D part. That's kind of what's going on. And to be honest, I really think that's because we our reviews – We did two reviews. We did a review of a Z890 motherboard on one side and an X870 motherboard on the other side. And the traffic to the X870 motherboard is much higher. Mm-hmm. And I would say the Z890 motherboard is a higher tier of motherboard too. which typically would need more traffic. But yeah, so what are your thoughts? Like, I assume you would build with this part.
Yeah, if I was going in brand new, like didn't have a build, or you know, if I was even looking to upgrade this system, right, from a 5800X3D, yeah, like 9800X3D is exactly what I would go for. Like, I'm not even debating.
And it's not necessarily insanely expensive. Like,
no, I saw some people thinking that it was expensive. $479 for this doesn't feel bad at all. I mean, and just think of who knows where we get to, you know, a little ways down the road when like the 5800X or 5800X3D got down to like $300, you know, when I bought it, and it was still very new at that point, right? So do we see this thing drop down to $400, $375, like in, you know, 6 months or something? Who knows?
Yeah.
So I guess it depends how many they can pump out.
Yeah. Yeah. As of like, I haven't looked, let me see, just like I'll go on Amazon real quick and see if we can find one. But Amazon, okay. 9800X3D, $689. Oh, I can get it.
Really?
For how much? But it's $689, so it's a third party selling it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, not a fan. So that's $689. Newegg. I guess you could check Micro Center, but you probably have to go into the store, right?
Yeah, I think you usually have to pick them up in
store. Yeah, so nothing on Newegg. And we'll just do Micro Center. Let's see. Micro Center. They have a bundle. Oh, that's a 77X. Never mind.
Well, it did a lot better than Intel's parts, at least especially in
Germany, yeah. So that's right? that's a big contrast, is that this, and we talked about it last week, how Intel just has one part, and that part is essentially made for everybody. Whether you're doing multi-core tasks, you're doing a lot of design work, whatever it is. And now AMD, yeah, they have the higher core parts for whoever.
Sure.
You know, somebody doing, again, multi-core workloads, things like that. But they have the gaming parts, right? And the gamers want the gaming parts. Yep. So it's interesting to see. We'll see what happens. That does bring us to the next story, where Intel is saying that they have fixes coming for Arrow Lake. Obviously, Arrow Lake, not the best gaming performance. Right. We reviewed it. The Core Ultra 9 285K that we reviewed. Not the best gaming performance, but they had I think it was like a live podcast with Robert Halluck from Intel. The guys from Hot Hardware did it. And we have the video in the article if you want to check it out. But they're promising fixes to Intel's Core Ultra series, basically BIOS and OS level type fixes. So like Windows update, BIOS update, that will help with performance. Now, the question I have is it too late?
Right. Has that ship sailed and everybody's like, I'm going to go with AMD anyways. I don't know. I'm sure there's still some fans of Intel that are like, all right, cool.
Do you think that most people have already made the decision?
Probably, because like this has to either come out like right away, like day of next,
and late November, you know what I mean? Early December.
Well, like this news has to come out right away, because otherwise people are like, all right, Intel's out, I'm gonna wait for AMD and see what their stuff is.
And again, you're not gonna find any discounts on the motherboards or CPUs for like Black Friday or anything like that.
Right. So yeah, what I'm saying is like the news of like them saying, oh, we're gonna be able to tweak this, that news has to come out right after AMD's parts release and be like, hey, we know that they're beating us, but we got something in the works. It's coming. Here's when it's coming. So that you at least get that notice out there. I mean, this is what, like a week and a half after we've seen the AMD parts come out. So that's pretty quick afterwards. But how many of those people already hit the buy button
and have
parts on the way?
How much performance are we talking?
Right.
You know, so I think, yeah, we'll have to see. And obviously we'll keep you guys updated on that.
And then it's like, so if that's all it's like taking, like,
do you remember with the Intel graphics cards, when they first came out, performance was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, they improved them a lot.
They improved them, and that was all driver software level type stuff. And then that, but I like, just like what might happen here, at that point, it was too late. Everybody had their mind made up about it, right? Yeah. They had their mind made up about Intel Arc. They're like, no, I'm going to get the AMD or NVIDIA. So this could be the point here. We're not sure, so we'll have to see. But yeah, moving on from that, talking about Core Ultra series, the rest of the lineup essentially was leaked. So we had five processors initially, essentially three processors, but two were K and KF versions without the integrated graphics built in. So now we're getting the low power versions, which could be good for some people in some different applications, but you're going to see a Core Ultra 9 285T, which is the 35 watt part, the Core Ultra 9 285, which is going to be the 65 watt part. And then it goes down Core Ultra 7, 285T and F, you know, so I'm never excited about these parts.
No, I mean, as someone that like buys multiple systems for like a business, that's where I want to see these, right? Like, yeah, okay, I can save power, get improved performance, right? Like, that power adds up when you're talking about 1,000 systems that are all on all day.
And that's a lot of systems. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so we have the full lineup if you want to check it out, if you are into those parts. New Intel Arc graphics cards. Are you excited? Is there any excitement?
Yes. Yeah, no, of course. Like, okay. We knew, like, I think we talked about this towards the end of the first gen. Like, okay, they've improved things. Let's see where the second gen gets us, right? So, yeah, I am. I'm excited to see what they bring.
Yeah, so Intel Arc Battle Mage, that's the code name for...
I just like the name, too.
The name is cool. The second generation of their desktop GPUs, expected in December. So this could be a new graphics card before CES, expected to offer what they call brilliant performance. I don't know what that means. What level of performance would get you to be excited about Intel Arc Battle Mage?
4070.
That's what I was like in my mind. I was like, yep, yeah.
If their top end is at the 4070, like, okay.
Like, and yeah, at like $100 cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that would be great. I like, that's probably pretty tough to do.
I, well, at least 50.
Yeah, you're gonna have to in order to sell them. Even if it does match like 4070 performance, you've got to give them some other reason, like to say, okay, like there's gonna be, I'm gonna save money, so I'm gonna go with it, because they don't want to spend the same amount of money and then there's no support for it because that's the last one they make.
Do you think with this generation, we'll see more AIB partners?
I hope so. Because what did we have? We had, was it ASRock? Did we have ASRock?
We had ASRock. We had Acer. PNY.
Yeah, Acer.
I think we had PNY. We had Sparkle. Remember Sparkle came out of nowhere with new cards. Yep. Lenovo makes ARC cards. There's a couple other ones, but... You know, we didn't. You're not seeing the ROG Strix,
no,
Intel Arc card. So
not yet.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if there's anything kind of in that direction. But like Ryan said, it's not because what happened in the first generation, which is all kind of expected. If you're jumping into this market, I don't think your first generation, or maybe not even your second generation, is going to be all that great. But it's always good to see a third party. I'm always excited for a third party. It just makes it better for the consumer, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. We will definitely keep you guys updated. Corey is in the live chat. What's up, Corey? How's it going? If you are in the live chat, want to say hi, definitely just shoot us a message here in the live chat. New bundle from NVIDIA. So new bundle, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. I didn't even know about this game.
Yep, I hadn't heard about it till this promo.
So you're going to get the game which is a Bethesda game, with it's $100 value.
$100 game. I can't imagine paying $100.
Get the premium digital premium edition. So whatever the digital premium, I assume it's like you get some in
game content. A different, but that's from different hat.
Yeah, the 4090 all the way down to the 4070, and that includes systems with them and laptops with them. You'll get the game. So it's always like we don't get these as much anymore, but it is good to see it. You know, you buy a new graphics card, then you're like, I don't have any money for games, or at least AAA titles. I'm like, I don't have any money. So it's nice to get a game with it, you know. So yeah, Indiana Jones game. Interesting.
I'm a big Indiana Jones fan, and
I am.
Like the last two movies have just like, yeah. I want to love them so bad.
You can't.
No,
I think we have the nostalgia for the originals.
Absolutely.
And you're just never going to replace that, I think. Right. It makes me want to watch one. Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to mobile gaming. Now, we had that story that Valve was like, yeah, we're not releasing a Steam Deck every year. We're going to have new hardware, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, literally a week later, they come out with a special edition of their Steam Deck OLED. It's a white edition. It does look nice. It's a white edition, special edition of the Steam Deck OLED, $679.
I just can't get behind a white console. That's going to get dirty so fast by the type of people I think. Okay, I'll stop right there. I imagine most of these will get dirty.
Somebody should clip that.
please don't.
Yeah. I just think they needed something to sell for the holiday season. Like,
it looks cool. It looks nice, right? The white and gray looks great.
Yeah, it does look nice.
It's not for me, at least in this type of product, right? I'm all for a white case, and heck, I've got a white mouse that I use and all that. But on a handheld that I presume is seeing a lot of use.
Yeah.
Going with you, you know, taking it on the go.
But
it's cool still.
Yeah.
I don't think this is straying too far away from their previous words of not releasing any new hardware.
It's technically I just think they needed something to sell for the holiday season, and this is it. This is what they could be excited for hardware wise to sell. Now, talking about hardware, we do have new mobile chips coming out. So the Ryzen AI 365 as well as the Ryzen AI HX 370, and we have some preliminary data as far as performance goes, testing against the ROG Ally, which is powered by AMD's Ryzen Z1 Extreme. And this was done by 1X Player. So this is their own testing. And we have a video in the article. If you want to watch the video, they show like side by side so you can see everything. They tested at different power levels, but some nice uplift, especially when it comes to the HX 370, like 20%. What's on Cyberpunk at full power, you know, Black Myth Wukong, 13-18% on the HX 370. So some nice uplift on this. You're not going to see like insane better performance when it comes to these smaller mobile consoles. You will get better performance and probably better efficiency when these newer chips do come out. But look at
the table there. There's no. And maybe it does clock down. Who knows? Those wattage issues, there's no numbers for the F1 Pro at those lower watts on either game, right? So can it just not clock down and has to run at that 30 watts? If so, you're not going to
get... Well, the AI 365, they have all the numbers.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's the... Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But for the 370, they don't, maybe because they don't... hadn't had time to test it, or it's an early version, the drivers haven't been optimized, you know what I mean. So but some nice uplift, and again, you're gonna see a ton of new mobile gaming consoles powered by the AI 365 and the AI 370. You'll see a ton. So I'm excited. I like to be excited for these, but I just don't see myself ever using one, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not like sitting down. If I'm gonna play a game, it's gonna be on this computer, like my big PC. And I'm not in a, I don't have like a commute where I'm sitting stationary. I don't, yep. I'm not on a plane all that much where I would make use of this. Yeah. So, but these are really cool. This is like really cool tech. So I'm sure we'll see a ton of these at CES in January. Talking about X870, Gigabyte unveiled their first mini ITX board for it, and it does look quite nice. This is their X870i Aorus Pro Ice. So the Pro Ice line is what they're, it's like they're all white motherboards, and this thing just looks awesome. I always love these boards. It's like, how much can we stuff in this little, yeah. Was it five? Is it 5 inches by 5 inches?
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really small. Everything is white, and I really like the attention and detail on this. So we do see a lot of white motherboards, but then like your connector is black, right? But all the connectors here are white, everything. Yep.
All the really cabling for like the lighting there to the...
Yeah, everything. Yep. So really nice board here. 8+2+1 VRM design. Some people were complaining about the rear IO.
It's kind of... kind of lacking in USB ports, but
2, 4, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, all right, 8's not bad. You got a keyboard, a mouse, maybe a wireless headset dongle. Like, what else?
And again, this USB 4 is essentially Thunderbolt, so you can split that out to a hub,
sure,
and not, you wouldn't lose bandwidth, right, per se. Does have Wi-Fi 7. I like the board. I think this would make a sick mini ITX mini ITX system. So
I saw this mini ITX system the other day, and I meant to send it to you. It was like this custom case that only works with one GPU. I'll have to send it to you. Maybe we can go over it like next week or something.
Yeah,
it was just amazing.
Yeah, a new case. So this company called, I guess I'm just going to call it APNX. I'm not sure if you pronounce it another way. Pretty interesting case. Looks a lot like the NZXT. What is it, that case?
Yeah, I don't remember. Or it looks like a flipped like Y60, Y70, you know?
Yeah, like a flipped Y60, Y70 with the panel here on the side as your intake. That way you can still get good intake. Better than like having just a front glass panel, and better than a... side mount, because it's going in diagonally, so it's
right, that air doesn't have to bang up against the glass and figure out a
direction. But the interesting thing about this one is that they're going like the fractal route with the panel here, but I do like to see how open this panel is, right? Yeah, I would hope there's mesh behind here of some sort. But helpful. The size of the opening is nice, both black and white version. This is what the other side looks like. And this is a dual compartment case, meaning that your motherboard, graphics card, everything's going to be on this side, and the opposite side, power supply, storage, everything like that. Does look nice, though.
Yeah, it's a good looking case for sure.
Yeah, so I don't, do we have, that's what the white one looks like.
Was it 129? Is that what it said?
Yeah, MSRP ranging from 119. I assume it's fanless because we're not showing any fans in here.
Well, so that's, ones, or maybe for glass versus the wood.
Yeah, and then this is the, with the back, you have your storage and everything that goes in here. Full on Velcro tie downs, which is nice to see. Yeah, not bad. But yeah, check it out if you are interested. Always good to see like companies we haven't heard of come out with stuff that I'm actually like, I could do building that, like, you know, actually kind of interested in. Now, here's an interesting story. And I saw this and I was like, oh, you know, what's the application of this? So LG unveiled a new stretchable display. This isn't the first one, but it's the first display that's capable of expanding by up to 50%. So it will go from 12 inches. A 12-inch display can be stretched up to an 18-inch display.
Yep.
This is what, you know, they're just showing it here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, A map? I just think of a map. Like, you pull a map out and you're like,
yeah,
you know, but like, what is the practical application of this?
Stealth technology or an invisibility cloak, right? If you can get cameras to integrate into it as well, that can, like, you can turn this into a suit you wear and it shows what's behind you on the other side because you got cameras on the screen as well.
I don't know.
Yeah, where is this applicable? Like, where do I wish there was a screen that could move like this? I don't know.
Well, why do you need a screen that I can stretch? Like, if I'm looking at a 40-inch TV or a 65-inch TV, if I want the bigger one, I just buy the bigger one, right?
I don't want it stretched. Then my pixels are further apart.
Well, I think I guess it would stretch the pixel. I don't know how that works.
It's got to.
Maybe we'll see it at CES and we'll just test it out.
Give it a stretch, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting technology, I'd say.
Yeah.
We see a lot of this stuff and for like PC hardware and PC monitors, I just don't see an application. Maybe a phone, because you want a phone to be small,
right?
And we've seen like the foldable, right? So yeah. Now you have a phone that you can just, I'm watching a movie, I'll just go like this and stretch it.
Yeah. You know? Again, though, like if your distance between those pixels increases and it's not uniform across the stretch, right? Like, then it is all sorts of wonky.
We'll see. I would say a cell phone's probably the...
Or maybe you could have a cell phone that, like... Because we have them now where you got a foldable phone, right? So you got it folded and the screen's on the inside. What if you opened it up and then it could fold around to the outside and now the screen's on the outside doing something? Mm-hmm. I could see where the stretch... who knows?
Who knows what... But it is interesting. So we'll see... See how the application of it working at some point, maybe. But pretty interesting. But that is it for news for the week. What we have coming up next week, doing an X80E motherboard, taking a look at the X870E Tai Chi from ASRock. So really excited. I've been a fan of the Tai Chi series forever. So really excited to test this out, see what it's about. It is a big motherboard. Ton of you. There's all your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
It's more than the other.
12 USBs, 5 gig LAN on there, Wi-Fi 7. Yeah, nice board. So I'll be taking a look at that, as well as an interesting product that we did see this past January at CES. Finally, is out, is the Cooler Master Master Hub. So it's essentially like a Stream Deck, but has some other things kind of built into it, the rollers and dials. And
I'm glad this is out.
What's cool about it is that the base has all these like little Pogo style connections, so you can reconfigure this however you want. It's not set in each one of these is its own little module, and you can move them around. That's what it looks like right there. So I will have a review of that for you guys next week as well. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. That brings us to question of the week. Since we are getting into holiday time.
We are.
Is there any tech that you might be picking up? Maybe you're looking either for something to buy yourself for the holidays, or you're looking at Black Friday, or something you might be buying somebody. Like, is there anything that you're looking at tech-wise that you're going to be picking up for the holiday season?
Yes, like nothing like motherboard, CPU, things like that, right? Gift wise, because that's just like not my gift audience. But like I think my wife and myself have finally decided we're gonna buy an adjustable bed. Like,
okay,
so that's what we're gonna do for each other. We're gonna get us a bed like that.
Those are nice,
everything to go with it. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. I was over at my mom's house the other day earlier this week and working on like running some network cable for her, and I needed a flashlight, and they got out the flashlight, and it was just like an old mag light with a little, not an LED bulb, but an old,
yeah,
you know, it's got D batteries, and it's like, this is not a flashlight. So I'm thinking like some nice LED, like rechargeable flashlights, something like that. Yeah. There's some really good ones out there. I've taken a look at a couple of those. But today, actually, I bought myself, I'm going to share this just real quick. Window, that one. I bought this Anker like 8-in-1 charging station.
Oh, nice.
So it's got two of your standard power outlets along the top. It's got four USB type C along the edge, two type A's. It's got a little screen.
Are those high powered USB?
Yes. So this will do 240 watts total.
Oh, nice.
And it's on sale right now on Amazon, I think for $100 is what I paid for it. So it'll do 140 watts. Like if you just need just your laptop, it'll do 140 watts on one of those type C ports to your laptop. So awesome amount of power there. 240 watts total across like all of the ports. You can plug in all sorts of stuff. Super thin. It's got
it is crazy with like that. This is like this works with like I don't know what GaN stands for, I forget, but like GaN technology has made chargers so small now. It is crazy. And the amount of power that you can pull too. That's awesome.
And it's got an app that goes with it that you can, you don't have to. So you can show exactly how much power is being pulled by each port, but you can also, I believe, show it on the display of the charger and show exactly how much power is being used.
The app is really cool though. I haven't seen one of these with the app. So that's really cool.
And then, yeah, so I bought this because I'm always bringing, I have another Anker. I think it's the 525. And it has two standard power plugs, and then it has two type C and two type A that I bring to CES. This is going to replace that this year.
Nice.
Because it has more ports, more power, is smaller. Yeah.
I look forward to
plugging something in on it.
Yeah. I look forward to checking it out at least. It looks really cool.
Yeah. It'll be good. Yeah. Excited. And some really nice Anker silicone flow cables that are supposed to be really flexible and soft and
nice. Yeah.
Be here tomorrow.
You know what's so funny? We were just talking about that APNX case, and somebody, team group on Twitter, just reposted this. Let me bring this over here. That's kind of interesting. That look at that. There's the case.
Huh?
We were literally just talking about it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Look. Oh, it has the vertical mount as well, and there's that that deep cool
cooler
in there. All these fans. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyways, I literally just looked over because I had Twitter open or X open over here. So, I want to get a new set of microphones for my phone.
Really? Oh, okay.
The set of microphones I have for like my big camera is great, but I make a lot of content on the phone, and I had one that
you don't like the Holy Land? You don't like it?
No, I do like it. Okay. But it's made for the old, I have to use this stupid thing.
Adapter.
I have to use this. I don't want to use that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've seen the ones that are like, they almost look like a puck that Holy Land makes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because with the actual Holy Land ones that I do have for the phone, they kind of just like flip over. They flip over a little bit. Yeah. So I think I might be like my little gift to myself. Those sort of flip over a little bit. But I haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet, but I think that's probably the only tech related thing that I'm going to maybe get.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't no new camera. I'm always camera person. I'm always buying new cameras, but,
you just got one.
What did I just get?
I mean, you've had it for a couple months. The new Sony.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like a big camera. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I did just buy a new camera. Never mind. Yeah. Totally forgot I even... Because it's so much... It's very much like the other one. But yeah, I did get a new camera. But yeah, that's probably what I'll be... I'm trying to think if there's any... No, I have like...
TVs are so cheap. I was at Walmart just looking for something else, walked by the electronics, went to the back to the TVs, and like it was like 75-inch TV for $300. Now it's not like a nice Samsung or LG, but it was like an on brand, which is their house brand. But I've got a 60-inch on TV up in the master bedroom.
Even if it works for a couple years, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I've had it for like 4, maybe 5 years now.
Yeah.
Works fine. I mean, you can stream 4K content to it. I watched the rest of Deadpool last night on it in 4K. Like, no problem. Looks good enough for watching it in bed, right? So, yeah, TVs are so
cheap.
Yeah, I
don't think I need a new TV. This one has been pretty good. But But yeah, we are going to do some gaming. I was pretty bad last week. Maybe we'll be better this
looks
week.
Looks like OG Apex, but yeah, we'll get it going.
Yeah, so we're going to be over on Twitch. If you guys want to join us over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream, so yell at him. And that'll be his gameplay that you'll be seeing. I'll be joining him, but you'll be seeing most of his gameplay. So head on over there if you want to continue to hang out with us, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And until next week, we will catch everybody later.